everybody.
Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic.
Hello, everybody. What's that from?
Simpsons.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
No, it's...
Troy McClure.
I don't... No, who is it that says hello, everybody? Is it Krusty the Clown?
I don't know.
I remember Simpsons.
We were talking about... I feel like there's a little run of... I used to watch Neighbours, Simpsons, Hollyoaks every day.
What, B2B? Bay?
Yeah.
Did you?
I'm sure that was the order it was on in. I think it was 5:30 till 6 was Neighbours, 6 till 6:30 was Simpsons, and then 6:30 till 7 was Hollyoaks.
I used to do Arthur, Mona the Vampire, Cramp Twins.
Oh, how good did Kids TV used to be? I'm excited to see if Kids TV is as good as it used to be.
You watched 10 Minutes of Blue the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I wasn't really paying attention, though.
I walked in while she was watching it. Twins were upstairs asleep. It was quite funny. I enjoyed it.
The episodes are only like 7 or 8 minutes long as well.
Good, I can keep
my friend was
my
like,
attention.
You could get through that in a full day. I was like, you actually could, couldn't you?
I think my attention span will last that long as well.
Yeah. Wasn't anticipating them to be Australian though, won't lie.
Are they?
Yeah.
I weren't paying that much attention.
I think
then,
they were.
I clearly wasn't paying Bluey. Any attention. You saying Bluey in an Aussie accent doesn't automatically make the programme Australian.
I'm sure they're Australian.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I've not dedicated enough time to give my opinions on it yet, but I do hope that Kids TV is as good as it used to be.
No, it won't be.
Why?
Because Kids TV was spectacular back then. It can't have got better than that.
I just think it peaked in the 90s.
Heart Attack, Smart.
I didn't really watch anything that was on Channel 3. I was pretty exclusive to Channel 1.
Was you?
Yeah.
Didn't sway.
Did not often. Yeah, I did occasionally watch the odd Earth Attack, and on a Saturday morning I'd watch the Pokemons.
I'd never watched Pokemon.
Did you not? I used to get up for Pokemon on a Saturday morning on was it
what time
Live
was it
and
on?
Kicking? Oh, it's quite early, I think.
So I used to watch Soccer AM from 8 till 12.
Yeah, it was probably on that time.
And then it became 9 till 12, then it was 10 till 12, then 11. It just got worse and worse as the years went on, Soccer AM. But yeah, I never watched Pokemon.
Yeah, I watched.
Did you watch Dragon Ball Z?
No, that was on Channel 3, wasn't it?
No idea, I never watched it.
I think it was.
I just remembered it. Yeah. What else was there? There were some terrible programmes, but I think we just named the best ones.
Queen's Nose. That was up there.
Yeah, amazing.
When you go in, round the twist. Have you ever felt like this?
What's that?
When strange things happen, are you going round the twist? I think it was called Round the Twist.
Like, well, if it wasn't, it should have
It
been.
Was in a lighthouse, do you not remember?
No.
It was like a family who lived in a lighthouse.
What was that woman that flew the plane with the dog?
Pippin,
yeah. I
come outside.
Pippin.
Was it called Come Outside with Pippin? Pippin died. The spotty plane.
Well,
I think it was Come Outside.
Of course, Pippin died.
I
we
know.
Watched it when we was about 8 and we're 33.
I remember watching that in reception, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 then.
Yeah.
So that dog was alive 28 years ago and you're saying,
oh,
because it
died. But we were talking about.
It was about 10 then. It'd have to be 38.
Yeah, I think it was called Come Outside.
Come Outside. There was. Did you ever watch Dexter's Lab?
Dexter's, I didn't like that one that much.
Yeah.
No. Again, I think that was on like Nickelodeon, wasn't
Powerpuff
it?
Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls? No, I'm sure you're naming Nickelodeon. You said you didn't have Nickelodeon.
I don't think I did. I just remember. I was just alive when these things were on. I didn't watch them,
didn't
I don't think.
No, I didn't watch them.
What was that one with the cavemen and women on it? Flintstones. Did you
Flintstones.
Watch that?
I did watch the Flintstones, yeah.
Don't think I was a. Scooby Doo. That was
Scooby-Doo.
Good.
You used to love Scooby Doo.
I watched Scooby Doo a lot.
Scooby Dooby Doo!
How did we watch all of these programs in this? I'm sure I was watching TV for like 2 hours, but I watched 18 programs.
Because
like
they're
minutes
short.
Long. Can't be that short.
Yeah.
3 till 5 past. 5 past till 10 past.
Probably not far off, is it? I didn't realise that until I watched Bluey the other day. That they're like, oh yeah, because TV's
minutes.
Got to be short.
I've said Mona the Vampire, have
I? Yeah, you have.
I feel like I was going to go back through them all again, so maybe I'll stop thinking.
Why did you ignore Queen's Nose? Because I think that might have been my favourite one.
I said it was brilliant, I think.
All right.
I'll listen back later. I won't, but if I was going to listen back, I would tell you what I'd said. But I think I said it was amazing.
Yeah.
Demon Headmaster.
Wasn't allowed to watch that one.
That's funny. It makes me laugh every time.
Mum, if you're listening, still holding a bugbear about that one.
Brilliant. It really makes me laugh that you wasn't allowed to watch Demon Headmaster.
He was a demon, so I wasn't allowed to watch it.
But maybe that influenced you to become a teacher.
Why?
Because you didn't know how bad headmasters were.
I wasn't aware that they could
and
be
then
demons.
You got the job and about a year and went, yep, this is terrible.
Anyway, enough about 90s TV. And more about 3 signs that you might have an unfulfilled relationship with food.
Oh, what, sorry? Unfulfilled.
Unfulfilled. Odin Phil thing. Do you like it when I make a mistake? I just keep going in the hope that you don't notice it.
Do you like that? I always notice.
Yeah.
Three signs you have an unhealthy relationship with food, part one.
All right, Phil, you can read it.
I'm just going to say, next week, obviously, there's going to be a part two. It's going to be, and I was going to say it later on, but I'm going to say it now, there's going to be a episode on how to improve your relationship with food. The reason we're doing this one first is because it's really important to know what defines an unhealthy relationship with food. Because we have a lot of conversations with people about this. And quite often, either the phrase relationship with food won't come up, even though they're talking about things that actually do dictate whether they've got a healthy or unhealthy relationship with food. Or they may feel like they've got a healthy relationship with food whilst doing all the stuff we're talking about and therefore have an unhealthy relationship with food. So by learning about this, it will allow you to then have an even more positive experience on next week's episode because it'll just give you a real insight. Now,
I think just going into this, this isn't like an exclusive.
Oh,
like,
no, it would take us 10 hours to do that.
There's so many factors that can impact our relationship with food. These are just kind of
common ones.
Come on.
I'd say these are, they're not the top, maybe the top three. I don't know. We'll
there
we'll
are probably more unexpected ones that you wouldn't even, maybe not.
Should we just tell everyone and then we'll decide? Yeah. So, right, this is why we're talking about it, because we might not speak about this a lot, but the way that we build the coaching program is that the first part is all mindset related and relationship with food related. And the reason we do that is because if you're listening to this, you've probably dieted quite a lot before. You've probably, you know, been through that cycle of like starting again every Monday, or you might have been to some kind of slimming club, not naming any, that would potentially give you a unhealthy relationship with food. And because of that, it then becomes, I'm not even going to say difficult, it becomes impossible to lose weight and keep it off. Because if the approach that you're taking doesn't, at the beginning, improve your relationship with food, so if it doesn't do that first, or if the approach you're taking gives you an unhealthy relationship with food, the weight won't stay off. The reason being is the relationship you have to food will dictate what happens to your body weight. So even if you do all the things you need to do to lose weight, if your relationship with food at the end of that diet is unhealthy, the weight will come back on. You'll see why more when we go through each thing. It's just really important to remember that that's going to be the thing that your body weight almost like pivots off. So if you're in a position where you're like, yeah, I've been through this process, I've lost X amount of weight, you know, I could have lost 4 stone, 8 stone, whatever it is, and now I'm just going to get on with my life. Well, actually, what's going to happen is if you've got an unhealthy relationship with food, that weight's going to come back on. If you then go back to the same diet again and lose it again, you're still in the same position you was when you lost it last time. Which is why we quite often have conversations with people that are like, yeah, I can lose weight, but I can't keep it off. Or I can lose weight, but not consistently. Or I lost X amount, but then I gained it all back. Or gained it all back plus more. And it all comes down to your relationship with food, or a very, very large percentage of it. I would also say relationship with yourself as well. However, your relationship with yourself and your relationship with food are so intertwined that these things we're going to speak about will also be related to the relationship you have with yourself as well.
Yes. So, number one, you have rules that you aren't allowed to break. And we say this, you might not even realise you're doing it, because there might be some really, really clear rules, like, I can't eat specific foods, maybe, or I shouldn't eat this, or I'm not allowed to eat after a certain time, whatever it may be. There might be some ones that you're not even realising that are a rule for you. So, for example, I'm only allowed to eat X amount of something. For example, 2 blocks of chocolate a day or 1 biscuit. Now, the problem is when we break those rules, this feeds into the next one, but it makes us feel guilty. So I'm not going to go into this too much detail, because Phil's going to touch on this now. But it is really thinking about, there's a difference between creating a habit and creating a rule. If you don't do a habit, there's often not this great guilt attached to it. Whereas if you have a rule that you break, there's often a lot of guilt attached to it. And I think that that can be helpful to find the difference. Because I did this exercise with clients once and she was like, I feel like I'm just letting go of some things that are actually really positive for me. And I was like, no, they're the habits. So they're the positive things that are working for us right now. We don't want to undo some of that stuff. But there are some rules that, that we're unpicking. I'm actually in the middle of having a conversation with a client at the minute who actually is putting a ton of rules in place that she had absolutely no idea, and that is meaning that food is all consuming her mind all the time, because as soon as she says, particularly around like Easter chocolates, like, oh, I'm just gonna have this amount of it, if she eats any more, she's beating herself up for it, feeling like she's a failure, she can't do this, instead of feeling again, that's next week. I'm going off on a tangent.
It's hard
Rain me in.
Relating that back to diets, though, you know, if you, you might not notice it, but like if a diet says you can't have more than this amount of calories or sins or points or whatever it is, that's a rule.
Yeah.
So if you're not allowed more than 1,200 calories, that's a rule. You're not allowed it, which is why when you get to the end of that diet, you regain the weight because you stopping yourself from eating when you hit that number. Now, that can happen at different times, can't it? It can happen on like Monday. So Monday, you say, I'm only allowed 1,200. You get to 1,500, you go, right, well, I'm going to stop tracking then. It can also happen throughout the week. So you might be feeling like you're doing really well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everything's going great. But then Thursday morning, something happens, you go over that number, and you're like, well, yeah. Well, you probably don't think, oh, I've had a great start, I'll just keep going. What probably happens is, or what usually happens is you say, well, I've messed up, so I'm just going to give up. And you don't see the first 3 days as great. You just, the way our brain is wired, you notice that today hasn't been great and therefore I'm giving up, like I'm done. I'm just going to hit the sod it button. But it can also happen at the end of a diet. So you might be able to sustain that for 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, 6 months, whatever it is. But the second you stop and start breaking that rule, that's when we start to hit that sod it mode. Which brings us nicely onto number two, doesn't it, to be honest with you? Which is, you have an having an unhealthy relationship with food. The second thing is you feel guilty for eating certain foods. And I've no doubt there'll be a lot of people hear me say that and go, yeah, it's this, 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 and this. You'll have trigger foods that come to mind straight away. There's loads of really common ones like chocolate or biscuits or pizza or even carbohydrates or sugar. Like there's loads of examples of foods that you stop yourself from eating because you feel guilty for eating them. And what tends to happen is you do exactly what Jen's just said. You tell yourself you can't have it. Now, it might be you saying it. You might be saying, you know what? I always overeat chocolate, so I'm just not going to eat it. Or alternatively, you might start a diet that says don't eat that specific food or food group. And you see it all the time on social media. Like someone new will come out and say, oh, I've created this great diet where you just don't eat sugar and you lose weight. And it's like, oh, great, I'll do it because I know that when I eat sugar, I gain weight. What happens is you tell yourself you can't have it and you avoid it for a period of time, whether that's a day, a week, a month. And you just keep saying, no, I'm not having it. I'm not allowed it. You know, that's not for me. I'm doing this diet. So no, I'm not doing it. But at some point, because, you know, we're humans living on planet Earth where this food is readily available to us, we give in and we go, usually we set another rule, like, I'll just have one. But then you feel guilty for having that one and then you binge or overeat. So that can play out. Like Jen said, you know, you say, right, do you know what? I'm not eating chocolate. And then after like a few days, you go, I'll tell you what, I'll just have one block. Or I'll just have one line. And sometimes you kind of keep, is it bartering with yourself? Is that the right phrase? Yeah, you keep bartering with yourself. You're like, right, well, I'll just have one block. And you have that squirt and you're like, all right, I'll just have one line then. Or one more line won't hurt. I'll tell you what, I'll just have half the bar. And before you know it, the whole bar's gone and you've overeaten on it. And then you feel really guilty for doing that. So then you're like, well, sorry, I'm just going to have more then. And we just keep going and we keep falling through this cycle. And usually what happens then is we go, well, I'm never eating it again then. Even though that was what started it in the first place. So you saying you wasn't allowed it is what caused you to overeat. It feels like the right solution at the time to say, well, I'll just never have it again. And the thing is, it doesn't really matter how many times you do that. Because we've all probably restarted our diet on a Monday. So you might be 20 years into doing this. So if there's 52 weeks in a year, 20 times 52 is quite a big number. Is it like 1,040, I think?
I don't know. I'm not going to quit maths.
So you might have 1,040 times said to yourself, do you know what? Just not eating chocolate again. So if it hasn't worked 1,040 times, something needs to change, which is, of course, what we're going to go on to next week. But the point still stands. If you feel guilty for eating certain foods, that does fall into the... corridor of having an unhealthy relationship with food.
Yes. So then number three, you only allow yourself foods if you've, in inverted commas, been good. So for example, weekend treats, like you've had a really good week, you've managed to survive your week is often one that I hear, like I've got through the week, so it's a treat at the weekend. Or treat yourself after a healthy meal. So like, oh, I had a really great meal there, so I'll have a little treat. I have a bone to pick with treats as it is, but...
You're not a dog.
Yeah. Or you will allow yourself certain foods, maybe if you've lost weight or once you've hit a certain weight loss milestone. And I think we start to then see... like food is something that we need to earn, and we're really looking for how we, like what we need to do to get that food basically, and that we've got to do something positive before we can have that food that we really really want, and it creates a really negative spiral oftentimes with food, and sometimes even if we're factoring in with exercise, because we've seen a lot of people have that, oh, I can only have that food if I've done this amount of exercise and therefore burned off this amount of calories, etc.
It's almost like all of them, that, isn't it? It's like it's a rule that you're only allowed to, like, we'll use chocolate as the example. I'm only allowed chocolate if I've exercised, but then you're going to feel guilty for eating that chocolate. But you feel like you've been good, so therefore you should have it. It's like all three into one exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, I'd say with exercise, I see a lot of people doing this one subconsciously. One, depending on the type of exercise you're doing, if your hunger levels have increased, then like reaching subconsciously for foods to give you that energy boost. But two, like I've had quite a few clients being like, when we start unpicking the relationship with food, being like, why am I always like reaching for food as soon as I've done exercise? Like I'm just... It's almost like there's something in my head that's like, you're allowed that now because you've done that. And it's unpicking and understanding where that comes from as well, I think, a lot of the time.
I did that when I got back from the gym before.
Did you?
I had a cream egg and a coffee.
But were you doing it as a reward?
No, I mean, I was doing it for energy.
All for energy.
But I also had chocolate and biscuits bread on my breakfast, so it was nothing to do with my relationship with food. I'm just saying, when I got back, I was like really sapped of energy.
Yeah.
What I could have done with is something a little bit more nutritious.
Mm.
But
yeah, I've started doing like an hours long walk in the morning, and I was getting in absolutely starving, because my energy output there has just increased massively, because I was doing like a 10 to 15 minute walk prior to that.
And you're pushing a pram.
And I'm pushing a pram.
I'm pulling a dog.
So often the dog's pulling the pram in a direction I don't want to go in.
That's what I mean, pulling it. You're pulling in where you want to go. Nightmare, isn't it?
So I've been coming back starving. So I'm having to like actively plan in a snack there so that I'm not getting over hungry throughout the day, because...
But let's not really reveal too much for next week.
Oh yeah, sorry. It's really hard to do a podcast without giving solutions. I never realised how hard that was.
Let's never do a two-parter again.
No, I don't want to do that. It's dead hard.
We'll just give you... Well, to be fair, no, this is a solution. And do you know what? That's a really important point to make, because we do this a lot within our coaching practice, inside our coaching program. 99% of the time is understanding what you're doing. 1% is the actual solution itself. Yeah. So if you've got to the end of this episode and you're like, well, all I've done is learnt that these things aren't healthy for me. Good, like that's positive progression, because you can now go and work on that. And I, do you know what the hardest bit is? I'm gonna go back to what I said at the beginning. The hardest part of losing weight is knowing that the first step probably isn't going to be about weight loss. And I know that that's difficult, because most diets will have you lose about 8 pounds in the first week, and we know that nobody sustains that. No one then loses 8 pounds in the second week, and the third week, and the fourth week. Usually it's like you lose 8 pounds in week one. Pardon me, you lose a pound in week two, and then you regain a couple of pounds in week three, and then you regain another pound in week four, but then you lose another couple of pounds in week one, in week five, and it's just this constant yo-yoing of body weight. And because that's the norm, when you then do something where it's like, right, okay, well, the first 6 weeks are actually going to be about you, your relationship with your food, relationship with yourself, the respect that you show to yourself, the way that you treat food, the way that you speak about food. It's like, hang on a minute, but that's not going to help me lose 8 pounds in week one. And it's like, no, it absolutely isn't. We're open and honest about that. But what it is going to do is it's going to allow you to lose weight consistently for a long period of time, and it's also going to allow you to keep it off at the end. And there's going to come, there'll be a period of time where you don't like the sound of that, and that is okay. Like, we get that totally. There's going to be a period of time where you're like, but no, I just want to lose weight. Yeah, 100%, totally get that. We're on the same page. However, do you want to keep it off? If the answer's no, if you're like, well, actually, I'm not that bothered about keeping it off. I just want to lose it and I don't mind if I regain it all again. We're probably not the coaching program for you anyway. But if you are in a position where you do want to keep it off, this is the place for you, because you're going to improve your relationship with food and yourself as well, so that it does stay off, which is why what we do is very, very different from what anybody else does, because what they want to do is just get you to lose as much weight as possible in the first week, because it gives you that sense of, well, I could just do that again and again and again, but you actually know that that isn't going to happen. So next week, we're going to be talking about how to improve your relationship with food. That's going to be part two in this two-part series, and what to do in all the different situations that we've spoken about today. We might even throw a few more in there. So if you've got something that you do that you know is not healthy, so if you've got something within your current kind of daily habits, routine, behaviours that you know means you've got an unhealthy relationship with food and you want the solution to that, DM Jen at Jen Body Brain Belief.
Me.
And what we'll do is, in next week's episode, we'll put a solution to that as well. So make sure that if what we've mentioned today isn't something that you do, even though you know it's unhealthy, let Jen know so that we can then pop it in to next week and also the solution with it.
Yay.
On that note, Jen, do you want to put me on the spot?
Yeah, change my question.
What, you didn't like your other one, did you?
No, I came up with a different one in the middle of the podcast. If you could bring back any 90s TV show that the kids could watch, what would it be?
Oh, no. One?
Yeah.
We named like 25 before.
You've got a plethora of items to pick from then.
Well, there's a few that I'll say no to because I didn't really watch tons. So like, I didn't watch Powerpuff Girls or Dexter's Lab or Scooby-Doo. I didn't watch tons. It was good, but I didn't watch it a lot. Do you know what? As much as I want to say something like Cramp Twins was class. Like, class.
Cramp Twins for the twins?
Oh, that's a very good point. Why did I not make that connection? I have to say Cramp Twins, no. Don't I?
I didn't like Cramp Twins, so I'll allow that one to be bypassed.
Right, okay, I'll bypass that then, even though it's a question for me. Don't you know how you putting me on the spot works, do you? 150 episodes in, you still don't get it. I quite like the idea, although it didn't work for me. I was going to say something like Art Attack or Smarks. It might give them like a creative side, which could be a nice bow to the string? String to their bow?
Oh, don't ask me, I'm free.
Yeah, that's the wrong person to ask. But I watched it loads and I'm the least creative person on the planet, so I don't think that's actually going to help them. Oh, and then all the pictures go past on. Yeah, that's funny. I love that bit. It's really weird music, that, isn't it?
I told you, didn't I, that I used to, when we were doing art when I was a primary school teacher, I used to play that music at the end of the lesson so they could all go around and look at each other's artwork, and nobody got it because nobody's a 90s child.
Well, you'd hope not, really. You shouldn't have 20-odd-year-old kids in your year
but
six
it
class.
Made me feel really good.
That's all that matters. Miss K plays this really weird music.
Oh, I forgot my name then.
You was never a Miss Williams, was you?
Mrs. Williams.
Sorry, you was never a Mrs. Williams. You'd already started coaching. I think I'm going to have to say Arthur.
Yeah. Mainly for the theme tune. Why can't I remember it?
You can.
Just give me the first line and I'm in.
I can't remember it.
Oh, well, that's weird, isn't it? I feel like I sing it quite a lot.
It's because we're speaking, but we're on a podcast.
Believe in yourself. That's the place to start. And I said, hey. But where does it start? Every day when you're walking down the street.
Yeah, that's the one.
Everybody that's jammy.
Yeah.
Has an original point of view.
Love that. We could all sit in the living room and sing it to each other.
And I said, hey.
Do you fancy that? Reg is just behind us. Do you fancy that, Reg? Oh, I'll just walk you up. Sorry, pal. He looks so unimpressed. Honestly, I did not realise when I got a dog how unimpressed with you they would be.
Sorry, that's a big yawn, that.
You're not supposed to yawn and speak on a
podcast. I didn't anticipate that being a really big yawn. I thought it was just a little one. Oh, no, now you're doing it. At least you're not a psycho, though. Oh, can I say that? I don't know, I said it now.
Well, it's there, isn't it? I feel like it's a common thing.
Reggie is being the best dog ever because I'm now walking him for a lot more.
Do you know, it's just mad though, like the other day, like I came downstairs and I accidentally woke him up, and I appreciate how unimpressed I'd be if someone woke me up when I was having a nap, but like he just looked at me as if to say, like, what do you do for me?
Roxy does that, though.
Yeah, but I'm like, I walk you, I feed you, I give you water, I give you tummy tickles.
We sometimes forget to feed you.
That's not true. RSPCA will be on. He lets us know about it. I just feel like I want him to be more impressed with my output of energy for him. Yeah. Try so hard.
Roxy does this thing where when you wake her up, she looks like the most angry person on the planet, and then within T-2 seconds, she's the complete opposite.
It's funny because she looks like you when she looks angry, but then you don't automatically shift to being the happiest person on the planet within a minute.
No.
It takes you about 3 hours and 2 coffees.
Yeah, I think I'm better now.
I would agree.
Thank you.
Well, there's my answer. Arthur, bring it back.
Yeah, I would also agree. I think that's an excellent option.
Thank you. Right, hopefully that's helped you to understand a little bit more about your relationship with food, and hopefully it's given you an insight into our favourite programmes from the 90s.
Please hit us with your ones that we've missed as well.
Alongside anything that we need to add into next week's episode. Other than that, have a good one, and we will catch you soon.
Bye.